Moses Ash spread sound the way that Johnny Appleseed spread, well, seeds. Ash did his work through a number of small record labels, the best known being Folkways Recordings. He wanted to inspire listeners to explore a world full of sound, not just music, but birds, bugs, machines. Ash died in 1986, so we can only wonder what he would have thought of the internet and its ability to get even the most obscure information to anyone with a computer anywhere in the world. Now the Smithsonian has put his entire collection of sounds and more on the web. NPR's Felix Contreras reports.
Folkways is perhaps best known for its recordings of Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, and Leadbelly.
Irene goodnight. Irene goodnight. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I guess you in my dream.
But Dan Sheehy, current curator of Smithsonian Folkways Recordings, says when Moses Ash started the label in 1948, he wanted to record all the sounds of the world.
The idea was to let the people's voices be heard through music, through spoken word, and later on, when he was very much involved with the educational system in the United States, other things like insects and frogs.
The recording Sounds of North American Frogs was a surprise hit for Folkways from the time it was released in 1958 through its reissue in 1998.
People were playing it at the beginning of their radio stations in the morning to sort of wake people up, and composers were putting frog sounds into operas they were composing. And we've actually entered, I think, high rotation on college radio there for a while.
Tony Seeger is Pete Seeger's nephew, and in 1987 he became the first curator of Smithsonian Folkways when the institution acquired the label after its founder's death. Seeger says Moses Ash understood that sound is a part of life. Toward that end, he recorded steam trains, mid-century office workers and machinery, rainforests, and soda machines.
Just as our world changes, so do the soundscapes that we live in change, and he was aware of that. He also recorded literature. He has poetry and short stories. All of them document the life and ways of human beings in the 20th century, in the era of audio recordings.
Ma Rainey. When Ma Rainey comes to town, folks from any place, miles around, from Cape Girardeau, Poplar Bluff, flocks in to hear Ma do her stuff. Comes flivvering in, or riding mules, or packed in trains, picnicking fools. That's what it's like for miles on down, to New Orleans, Delta, and Mobile Town, when Ma hits anywheres around.
Over the label's 40-year history, Moses Ash and a staff of two released on average one album per week and kept them all in print. Smithsonian Folkways curator Dan Sheehy says Ash was always defending that policy.
When somebody said, well, why don't you let that go out of print, or it's obviously losing money, he said, well, does that mean that the letter Q should be discarded from the alphabet just because we don't use it that often? You know, it's an important letter and we should keep it there. And every release in the catalog is an important release and we should keep it there.
And Sheehy says that was part of the agreement when the Smithsonian acquired Folkways, keeping every single release in print forever. At first, doing that proved difficult. When staffers would get an order, they would transfer the requested album to CD, make copies of the liner notes, then mail it all out to customers. But Tony Seeger says he began to see a better option.
When I first saw the internet coming, I thought it was going to be fantastic for Folkways, that it was finally going to solve problems that we could never solve when we had to manufacture product and store it somewhere and then spend a lot of our money shipping it around and getting it back and shipping it out again. This allows us to put it up and let people access it.
Earlier this year, the Smithsonian partnered with Microsoft's MSN to make all of the original Folkways material available for downloading on a per-track basis. The Smithsonian staff has since launched its own website, smithsonianglobalsound.org. It offers the original material as well as music and sound from archives overseas.
I was part of the team that developed the idea of global sound. And I went to India and Africa and worked with archives there to contribute their sounds and also to develop a model for taking sounds from archives and then making sure that some of the money from any recordings that were downloaded would go back to the original artists in the villages that made them.
That's one difference between Smithsonian Folkways and Washington's other famous audio collection, the Library of Congress's Archive of Sound. That material was never licensed for public sale and is primarily available for research. Scholarly information on the sounds he was releasing was always part of Moses Ash's vision, and the Internet allows the Smithsonian to expand on that vision by attaching the original liner notes to each downloaded track, along with links, photos, and other information. Tony Seeger says that's proven to be a challenge as well.
I'm hoping that eventually all of the notes are available so you can actually read what people have written about the music. I think one of the downsides at the moment is that it's easier to transfer audio files than it is to set up a system that links audio and visual and other files together.
Smithsonian Global Sound is like any other downloading service in that its tracks sell for 99 cents apiece. But Dan Sheehy says Moses Ash would approve because he wanted to get his recordings into as many ears as possible.
This would be a major dream come true for him, because if he were handed technology like digital downloads, imagine what a man like that with that sort of energy and ambition could do.
Felix Contreras, NPR News, Washington.